Support for the Closing Market Report podcast comes from ADM. Their FarmerView mobile site features up-to-date futures, weather, market commentary, and local bids, and offers customers access to contracts, deliveries, and payments at adm.com/farmerview.
From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 13th day of June, 2013. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Dan Zwicker at CGB Enterprises. He's in Mandeville, Louisiana. And then a bit later in the program, TGM's Matt Bennett from Windsor, Illinois, will be here to look at the cash grain market. And we'll talk all about the agricultural weather forecast with meteorologist Peter Levitt. And this week, as happens periodically, Lisa Braltz will be here with another In My Backyard segment on this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report, a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana, Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities focuses on managing risk in today's complex and sophisticated commodities market. 866-837-9027.
Let's check the numbers as they settled up in Chicago on this Thursday afternoon. Nearby contract for the July soft red winter wheat today at 685.5, up 2.5 cents. September at 693.75, 2.75 higher. In December wheat, 706.75, up 1.5 cents. The hard red at 718.5, 2 cents higher. From the corn pit, July futures were 7.25 lower. A settlement price at 643.5. September at 570.5. Down 4.5 cents, and December corn at 535.25, down 2.25. March futures 546.5, 1.75 cents lower, and the May contract at 554, down 1.25. July corn at 560.75, 1.5 cents lower on the day. July soybeans at $15.10.25, down 30.5 cents. August at 18.5 lower at 1426.75. September soybeans at 1341.5, down 17.25. November contract at $13.5, down 13.75. January futures 1306.75, down 13.75 as well. And the March contract 13.75 lower at $13.07. Bean meal at 452.60, down $8.80 in the July. And bean oil 27 cents lower at 47.84. Live cattle futures finished the August contract at $119.07.5, down 45 cents. October 27.5 lower at 122.85. The September feeders at 147.75 were 17.5 lower, and the lead option August there at 145.47.5 were down 45 for the feeder cattle. The lean hog settled the June at 101.57.5, up 62.5, but July were down 52.5 cents. That at $98.65 for 100 pounds. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour for the afternoon. The nearby contract for the RBOB gasoline at $2.86.1, that's up 5.1 cents. Crude oil futures at $96.53, that's $96.53, up 65 cents. And ethanol trading at $2.46.1, 3 cents higher for the day. The difference between the RBOB and the ethanol now at 40 cents on the spread, up 2.1 cents. In their widening, natural gas at $3.81.5, that's 3.8 cents higher, and diesel fuel at $2.93.5, 3.9 cents of a cent higher. Gold futures on the afternoon at $1,377.90 an ounce, down $14.20, and the U.S. dollar at 80.75, that's down 0.19 for the day. Here's what the weather forecast looks like as it comes from the National Weather Service for the Urbana-Champaign area this afternoon. Sunny skies, a high of 82 degrees on a north wind at 17 miles an hour, gusting to 24. Mostly clear this evening. A low of 54 on a north-northeast wind at 7 to 13. And then tomorrow, Friday, mostly sunny. A high of 79 degrees on a north wind at 6 to 9 miles an hour. Friday night, partly cloudy, a low of 61. East winds at 5 miles an hour. 50% chance of rain showers on Saturday evening. or on Saturday, that is. Partly sunny skies and the high of 82, though showers and thunderstorms will continue into Saturday evening, set at 60% by then, mostly cloudy and a low of 68. And on Sunday, showers and thunderstorms are likely mostly cloudy and a high of 81, again, a 60% chance. Chance of showers and thunderstorms continues into Sunday night, mostly cloudy and 66. And Monday, a chance of showers and thunderstorms, partly sunny and a high of 82. On Monday evening, partly cloudy and 64. We'll take a more complete look at the weather forecast when it gets to the bottom of the half hour. We'll talk with the folks at Chesapeake Energy in Chicago, Illinois. Actually, we'll talk with Pete Levitt.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
Listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is the 13th day of June. I'm Todd Gleason on the phone line with us. Dan Zwicker at CGB Enterprises in Mandeville, Louisiana. Good afternoon to you, Dan. How are you today?
Doing fine, Todd.
Well, tell me about the marketplace and what you thought of USDA's reports yesterday.
Well, I think the trade takes USDA's reports way too serious, especially a June report like this, which is basically a non-surveyed report. Some in the trade kind of felt that USDA would maybe bring down the yield a little bit. I guess they did on corn. They left the bean yield unchanged. Some kind of thought they might tinker with the planting a little bit. But in that regards, the report was viewed as negative or disappointing, and then that kind of pressured the market. So anybody that was betting on USDA to tighten up the balance sheet, you know, pitched out, and then that bearishness kind of followed through here today. But the market did bounce back here going into the close. So I think at least the report now is out of its way, and now the trade should begin to start focusing on, you know, crop rating levels, weather forecasts, and what. So far, we still got some beans to plant. I'm back home here in northwestern Illinois. Going to do a meeting for Mercer County Farm Bureau tonight, and there's a lot of beans up here to plant, and been driving around Illinois. So I think it's just, you know, one of those exercises that USDA had to go through, and we'll see what kind of numbers they give us on the June 28th, I think, the Stocks and Acres Report. That's going to be the big report of the summer. Because then that's going to tell us how much old crop we have left for the next 3 months, because we're really not going to have much new crop to harvest until you probably get in well into September. Then that'll tell us what kind of acres we actually ended up with.
Hey, both of those should make the end of the month of June a lot of fun. The June stocks report has tended to move around quite a bit in recent years. And then I'm wondering on the acreage report, because the surveys are done the first and second week of June, whether they'll really have a very good handle on how much corn was planted.
Well, I don't know exactly their methodology, but I know in the past they have kind of gone back in the areas that were behind, you know, maybe up through June 10th or up through June 12th or 13th to see if there have been much more progress done, I think. I do think they do. It's not necessarily exactly cut off on June 1. I think In the years past, they have extended that deadline maybe as much as they can so they can keep the report as accurate or the best they can. Now, realizing, for the most part, the corn is either planted or it's not going to get planted. I do know that people are still wanting to replant corn, but I suppose that depends upon where you're at in the corn belt. And that's going to depend upon what kind of, I guess, summer weather season we have. But there's still an awful lot of beans to plant. And, I'm in the opinion that, at the end of the day, we're going to end up with both less corn and soybean acres than what the March report showed. But we'll have to see how that plays out.
Any fun or unique figures in the charts that you watch for December corn?
Well, basically, I think December corn is still somewhat in a sideways trading range. I mean, if you kind of look at the chart pattern basically since February, we've basically tracked sideways between, this is rounded off, between 574 on the top side and 512 on the bottom side, and we're here at 535 here today. I think the way the market came off of its lows here today, my guess is that we're going to try the upside tomorrow, and we're going to see if we can go back above the 50-day moving average that we went underneath there yesterday. So I'm still thinking that the corn market still has upside potential as we go into the summer months. I don't see anything in the December corn chart that would really change my mind at this point. But we should, from a technical point of view, kind of put any kind of up move in motion, we should close higher tomorrow, get back above this 542, 543 area. And then I think that puts December corn in good shape then. Actually, all the commodities, I think, then to maybe rally into that June 28th report.
If they do so, what happens after the report comes out? Should it show, 3 or 4 million less acres, which many people are thinking, and I think including you at this point, is what might be on tap?
Well, the biggest problem the market has, and that's why this delayed planting that we've had this spring, talk of loss of yield potential, talk of loss of acreage potential, is that most people feel that USDA's balance sheet, their demand numbers are too fluffy. The market is actually working a larger ending stocks level than probably what's on the table. But they're still kind of planning on having a pretty good crop. Nobody's have given up too much on yield potential. I take a look at USDA's 44.4 bushel per acre on national average yield on soybeans. Now, I personally think that's way out of reach unless we just have a perfect growing season from here on out, and I don't expect that. So I think there's a lot of downward adjustment yet in soybean production. And corn production, I think the way the crop is getting started, it's all going to be about August weather. It's not about June rains at this point. Actually, June rains are probably somewhat bullish in a sense because it's not allowing anybody to really get in and replant. It's still creating ponding and taking maybe yield potential away from overall acreage. So I think it'll be interesting to see what kind of weather pattern the summer sets up. We've got the first day of summer here next week, and we'll see what kind of weather pattern is beginning to set up for the next 12 weeks.
Oftentimes you'll talk with us a bit about the outside markets and what kind of influence that might have or is having on the marketplace. Do you have concerns at this time?
Well, I think the outside markets are telling us that we're on the cusp of a deflationary spiral to the downside. I mean, we've got bonds declining, you got the dollar declining. Now, the stock market was up here today, but overall it looks like it's starting to turn down. It kind of looks to me like the economic news is going to be somewhat bearish in the outside market influenced by, I think, the weaker dollar. is going to help out commodities in the long run as we go forward from here. So that's why I'm still somewhat optimistic that we can still have some better pricing opportunities yet in corn and soybeans. Now, the problem is we may not want to take them because we could be back under some weather scares again if that occurs. But the outside market activity looks pretty bearish to me. It kind of looks like there's some real economic turbulence that's going to begin to materialize around the world.
Thank you so much for taking the time with us.
Very well.
Dan Zwicker is with CGB Enterprises. He's in Mandeville, Louisiana. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report on this Thursday afternoon.
Support for the Closing Market Report comes from Strategic Farm Marketing in Champaign, with crop insurance, grain marketing, and commodity brokerage services. More information about Strategic Farm Marketing is available at sfarmmarketing.com.
Of course, you're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. You can always find us online at willag.org or just dial this number, 217-333-3434.
Support comes from the Black Dog Smoke and Ale House, serving barbecue beef brisket, pork shoulder, ribs, chicken, and more, slow-cooked over a wood-fired smoker. The Black Dog, 201 North Broadway in downtown Urbana. Open Sunday through Thursday, 11 a.m. to 10 p.m., and Friday and Saturday, 11 a.m. to 11 p.m. And from Common Ground Food Co-op, now at Lincoln Square Mall, featuring organic and local foods grown right here in Illinois. Learn more on their website at www.commonground.coop.
Hey, have you signed up yet for the Tax School's estate planning event that is scheduled for the 24th day of June? If not, please do so. You can always just Google it, illinoistaxschool.edu, and you'll find, of course, the Tax School's event in Bloomington Normal, Illinois. It's the 24th day of June. Get signed up. You've got through the 17th to sign up early. It's only raised $10 after that, but you might want to sign up early. Check out Google and Illinois Tax School. Look for the estate planning or family legacy link on the left-hand side of the page.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Find us online at willag.org. Now up next, weather and insects can influence what we have to eat locally during the growing season. Lisa Braltz discovers that while they're two distinctly different issues that farmers must wrangle with, they're much more closely related than she realized in this edition of In My Backyard.
Recently, I found myself thinking about the weather even more in terms of how it relates to growing food, since the winter was so mild and everything was growing so fast and early. Because fretting about the weather isn't enough, I started pondering another factor that can influence what's available to eat locally during our growing season: bugs.
First thing that's going to happen, it's everything will be a little earlier than it usually is. Doesn't necessarily mean more abundant, but earlier.
That's Dr. Rick Weinzierl, professor in the Department of Crop Sciences at the University of Illinois, as well as a U of I extension specialist. His area of expertise is insects, specifically those that cause problems for specialty crop growers, farmers who grow fruits and vegetables. He and his team set traps for insects in their research orchard just south of Urbana to learn more about what's here and when it's here. But they also pay attention to the weather. They operate their own weather station at the orchard and use data from the Illinois Water Survey and other agencies. They do this for a lot of reasons, but one is because insects, when they migrate, often migrate in on weather systems.
They move in on weather systems, and that seems a little funny to people to say we've just received insects from Louisiana or Texas or the Gulf Coast. It's not like they use their own muscles to fly 500 miles or 1,000 miles. They simply rise up into weather systems and they move with the weather fronts and they drop out when the front hits a boundary. In the same way as we get thunderstorms, we have insects drop out of those weather systems.
I had no idea. I wondered, is it possible in some way to predict the arrival of certain types of insects? It actually is. One migrant species we've all seen at farmers markets or in the garden is the corn earworm, the worm you sometimes see in the tip of an ear of sweet corn after you start shucking. That bug doesn't survive the winter here very well, but it comes to us instead on weather systems from Texas and Louisiana. When it arrives makes all the difference to a sweet corn farmer. If it arrives in June, that farmer will have to intervene to keep the numbers down. If it arrives in August, it's not likely you'll find worms in your locally grown sweet corn. So it's definitely in farmers' interest to see which way the corn earworms are blowing, so to speak. Meteorologists and entomologists are helping them figure it out.
They make predictions that, you know, the likelihood of corn earworm emergence is low, and it will be low 80% of the time. But 20% of the time it will be, if populations are moving, then the likelihood of something happening is pretty high. And out of those, maybe only a quarter of those predictions will be right. But they do tell people, be attentive. And if you're attentive and nothing happens, it's probably no different than a tornado warning. We'd rather have a few false positives than negatives.
Professor Weinzierl told me that the insects that cause the biggest problems for our local farmers like hot, dry weather. So he thinks it's possible, but not probable, that insects could be more than a nuisance for the area's small farmers. Chances are pretty good that your favorites at local markets will not be obviously affected by insects. See, other strange insect plagues, like the dark-wing fungus gnat infestation earlier this spring, or the infamous soybean aphid swarm of late summer 2008, that might become a bother if the weather conditions are just right at the right time in the insect's development. He did assure me, however, that it won't be a massive cloud of grasshoppers like the ones Laura Ingalls Wilder described in her book On the Banks of Plum Creek. Rocky Mountain locust died out for reasons no one knows exactly in the early 1900s. One less insect to fret about. For In My Backyard, this is Lisa Braltz.
Our thanks to Lisa Braltz and Dave Dickey for our In My Backyard segments.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated, headquartered in Lafayette, Indiana, with branches in Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois, providing independent commodity, financial, and currency analysis to its clients and newsletter subscribers. On the web at myrmconline.com.
Well, at this time on a Thursday afternoon, we usually talk with Matt Bennett. He is in Windsor, Illinois at TGM. Matt's also a farmer, and Heidi tells me there that Matt has gone to the field this afternoon. He must be pretty busy, probably trying to finish up either some spraying, maybe putting some soybeans in the ground, though I think he told me they were 100% planted. Could be just doing some replant. Nonetheless, not available this afternoon. Let's take a look at the weather forecast, because I also happen to know that Pete Levitt called during the program and said he's not available during the afternoon segment either. So we'll do something else in that particular segment in just a couple of minutes. So here's the weather forecast. In the meantime, should be this afternoon mostly sunny with a high of 82 degrees on a north wind at about 17 miles an hour tonight in the Urbana-Champaign area from the National Weather Service. Mostly clear and a low of 54. Friday sunny and 79. Cloudy on Friday evening and 61. On Saturday, a 50% chance of showers and thunderstorms. Partly sunny, otherwise a high of 82. Saturday evening, the chance raises to 60% for rainfall. Mostly cloudy and a low of 68. Stays at 60% on Sunday, mostly cloudy skies and 81, and Sunday night it begins to taper off, mostly cloudy and 66. Monday, a chance of showers and thunderstorms, partly sunny and 82, and Monday night, partly cloudy, 64. Tuesday, sunny and 82. Tuesday evening, partly cloudy and 63. And sunny skies will be on tap for us on Wednesday. We'll go to a high of 81 degrees. We'll be back in just a couple minutes here on the Closing Market Report, and we'll take look at the hog market with Chris Hurt from Purdue Ag Extension. You can always find us online at willag.org. That's willag.org.
Leonard Seed Service supports agricultural programming on WILL as an additional service to its customers. Leonard Seed Service is an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgrow seed products to farmers throughout East Central Illinois via the Asgrow on-demand bulk soybean handling system. Leonard Seed Service, 217-497-2270.
National Lobster Day.
prior to the 20th century, lobster was not a popular food in the U.S. In fact, eating lobster was considered a mark of poverty, or as a food for slaves or lower members of society. And lobsters were also used as a fertilizer for farms. The market for lobster changed when modern transportation methods allowed the live shipping of lobster from ports to large cities inland. On this day in agricultural history in 1789, Elizabeth Hamilton, wife of Alexander Hamilton, the first Secretary of the Treasury, is said to have served a new dessert treat to General George Washington. The highlight of the dinner party was ice cream. After its introduction, ice cream often appeared on the presidential Thursday dinner menu. By the way, an entry in Washington's ledger reveals that he purchased a cream machine for ice at Mount Vernon. In 1817, Richard Lovell Edgeworth died, an Anglo-Irish inventor. Among his many inventions and innovations was a turnip cutter, as well as various improvements in agricultural machines, including a one-wheeled carriage adopted to go over narrow roads. And in 1893, African-American inventor T.W. Stewart received a patent for a mop. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Support for WILL Agriculture comes from Murray Wise Associates, LLC. Land auctions, farm management, financial services, and institutional and corporate real estate. Information on upcoming land auctions can be found at murraywiseassociates.com.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Normally at this time, we'd talk with Pete Levitt, agricultural meteorologist. He just called and let us know that he's not available to do the show this afternoon. No worries. We'll talk instead with Chris Hurd, Extension Ag Economist at Purdue. He says pork producers in the United States have felt that the financial pressure on their industry ease a bit this past spring, but that as the slow pace of corn and soybean planting progresses in the Midwest, things have been tempered for the economic gains that pork producers have seen.
The U.S. pork industry had been suffering losses trying to feed high-priced corn over the last year, courtesy of the drought of 2012. Just as they were beginning to feel that pinch ease this spring, with the release of a USDA figure showing more corn on hand than expected, the squeeze is back on. This time around, it has to do with the weather again, but too much rain rather than too little, says Purdue University Extension ag economist Chris Hurt.
Now, delayed planting is raising concerns about fewer planted acres and reduced yields, and that has most recently sent the corn and soybean meal prices back trending higher. And, of course, that has concerns for hog production cost that may not drop as much as had been anticipated.
Well, it means, says Hurt, rather than making a profit later this year, pork producers will just break even. The Ag Economist's break-even benchmark, by the way, includes family living expenses and means the producer can continue to work and live off the net income from the farm. Here's how Hurt thinks feed prices will fare over time.
Well, prices for corn and soybean meal are expected to drop sharply into the late summer and fall as we make that transition over to the new crop supplies. Current estimates are for fourth quarter corn prices to be about $1.25 lower than they are for the average this summer, and for soybean meal prices to be about $40 a ton lower. So obviously that's going to drop cost of production from what we think will be around $67 for the third quarter, down to around $60 of cost in the final quarter of 2013.
Hold the phone. If the cost of production drops from $67 a head to $60 a head, won't that mean a profit is realized? That's just it. The price of hogs is expected to drop back, too.
Hog prices, we think, are going to be near that $60 level also for the final quarter of this year, as well as the first quarter of 2014. So it kind of perpetuates the break-even conditions for the rest of this year and into the first quarter of 2014.
Looking a bit further out, Chris Hurt says next year, 2014, appears to be a better year for hog farmers around the nation, with lower corn and soybean prices leading to more likely profits. Still, Hurt says those hog farmers considering expansion of their herds should wait until there is a better handle on the size of this year's fall harvest.
Learned Seed Service supports agricultural programming on WILL as an additional service to its customers. Learned Seed Service is an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgrow seed products to farmers throughout East Central Illinois via the Asgrow on-demand bulk soybean handling system. Learned Seed Service, 217-497-2270.
Well, that wraps up this edition of the Closing Market Report for Thursday afternoon. You have a great day and stay safe on the farm. I'm Todd Gleason.